let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Every day there seems to be a new story about cybercrime. Major security breaches seem to be occurring with alarming frequency. Familiar names, Home Depot, eBay, JPMorgan Chase, Target, Yahoo, Verizon, and of course the mother of all breaches, consumer credit agency Equifax, a cybersecurity hack that exposed financial information for 143 million U.S. consumers. So the question, are you safe from hackers? Our guest today says not without taking precautions. Nick Selby is a police detective with nearly 20 years of experience fighting cyber criminals. He's the author of Cyber Attack Survival Manual, From Identity Theft to the Digital Apocalypse and Everything in Between. It's called the must-have book of the 21st century, an indispensable step-by-step guide to cyber defense. Nick is a cybersecurity consultant, frequent go-to media resource, focusing on crimes that leverage the internet, such as child exploitation, fraud, organized retail crime, identity theft, co-founder of Street Cred Software, co-author of Black Hat Onomics, an inside look at the economics of cybercrime, technical editor of Investigating Internet Crimes, and now author of Cyber Attack Survival Manual, cybersecurity expert Nick Selby with us on This Week in America. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Rick. Thanks so much. Wow, what an introduction.
Well, and there's so many great things to talk about in the book. This really is a must-have book. And you say right in the beginning, this book is already out of date, and that's okay. What you're talking about here, what the tools as specific threats change, if we have the tools, we can adapt.
Yeah, and it's understanding the threats that we face in cyber. A lot of us think of cyber as sort of some big faceless thing that happens out there to other people. And really, once you understand that it's all about money and it's all about information, you can start to personalize it, and then you start to understand how these attacks really do affect you personally. And I find that that's the most important thing, the mindset that cybercrime isn't something that happens to somebody else. It's actually something, as we've just seen with Equifax, that happens to everybody.
You know, it's interesting because in the book you say the odds are if you have not been hacked already, you will be. So this is something, if you say, I don't have any information that people would want, I have nothing to hide, basically you're wrong. You do have something to hide.
Yeah, you have something to hide, and you also have something to protect.
Yes.
And that something is, even if we took away all your cat pictures and all your bank accounts and all your passwords that are on your computer and your phone, you still have a computer and a phone connected to the internet, and these are very valuable commodities to criminals. Right now, as we speak, criminal groups have exploited hundreds of thousands or even millions of computers around the country, and what they're doing is they're herding all of these exploited computers into one giant network that they call a botnet, and these criminals actually rent out access to your computer to other criminals who want to use an anonymized criminal network of you know, owned computers, as they call it, to commit other cyber crimes. So it's kind of a self-licking ice cream cone for the criminals.
You know, it's interesting, as you read the book, you really find out what's going on. The book is fascinating. It's well illustrated. It has a lot of practical tips. One thing that when people hear about all of the breaches, and we talked about many in the beginning, the first thing most of us do is go to change our password. If we just do that, is that enough?
Well, it's not enough, but it sure is a very important first step. And my co-author Heather Vesant and I were talking in the book about using password managers. A lot of them are free, and they're very secure. And you can store all of your passwords into one encrypted vault on your computer, and you can use that not just to keep track of your passwords, as we all do, but also to change all of your passwords in one session when something happens. And that's actually very, very important. To go out and regularly change your passwords to something strong and random is something that not a lot of us do. But whenever we look at the hacks, whenever we look at the databases of stolen passwords, what we find is, you know what the number one password is? It's still password.
Even though you people, security experts, for years have been saying that's the dumbest thing you can do, go ahead and change it. That still is number one for many people. The book is called Cyber Attack Survival Manual. Yes, go ahead.
You know, and it is, a lot of this is our fault. So we wrote this book to be very simple. We wrote this book so that our moms could understand it. I think, you know, a lot of times we like to blame users. We in the security community like to blame users and say, why didn't you change your password? Well, think about what we're asking people to do. We're saying we want you to make a password that you can't remember, that is long and has mixed upper lowercase, mixed, you know, special characters and numbers, and you can't write it down. And you have to use a different one for every set. This is impossible advice. And so we're now reaping what we've sown, which is, you know, we've got a situation where passwords are so complicated, nobody wants to deal with them. That's why we love the password managers out there.
And you get information on that in the book, Cyber Attack Survival Manual. One of the authors with us on the program today is Nick Selby. What's interesting in the book, you've got really the best way to enter your password when you're online. Enter the password data online to make sure that that website is secure. Talk about that, because so often we hit a link and we really don't even pay attention. We're just going away putting in all of our information.
Sure. And, you know, a lot of attacks out there, and I've seen this a lot as a police detective investigating cybercrime, someone will get a link in an email and they'll click on it.
Yes.
And, you know, links can be very long and very complex. And so one of the illustrations that we have in our book by our co-author Eric Olson is this is how you look at an internet address and the things, the parts of the address that you look at to make sure that the site that you're dealing with is in fact the site that you think you're dealing with. So it's about looking at the address and studying the address. It's also about looking at the security certificate. In most modern browsers, you will see that you'll get a green light of some kind if the certificate matches the site that you're going to. You have to take a look at where you're going on the internet before you just start entering information. The act of phishing, which is sending people links that they click on to steal your information, is still absolutely huge. And if we look at the hacking that was taking place during the election, these actually started with phishing attacks against senior executives at the Democratic National Committee.
And you talk about typing in the address yourself. Something that simple can really prevent a lot of problems down the line.
It really can. I mean, the difference between nytimes.com and nytimes.badsite.com is, to us, trivial. But the consequences can be very major if you're not actually paying attention to where you're going.
And talk about paying attention. This was a fascinating statistic available in the book, Cyber Attack Survival Manual. 90% of victims report they weren't aware that the personal data had been compromised before thieves tried to use it fraudulently. What are some of the signs that we should see out there when, you know, maybe we need to look into this?
Well, it's going to sound very funny that I'm going to say that one of the first things you want to do is look into your credit bureaus, because with Equifax and PAC, that's a little bit less reliable. But, still, the number one reason that people commit cybercrime is to get money. And so if you think about following the money, in fact, setting up new credit accounts is one of the first signs that you're being attacked. So I do things like I set up with my bank a text alert that every time my credit card or my debit card is used, every time my bank account is accessed, I get a text so that I know immediately if something is happening. I do check online at least every month with the credit bureaus just to make sure that no new accounts have been set up in my name. By the way, one of the things that we talk about in the book, in addition to my identity getting stolen, I'm worried about the identity of my kids.
You know, and that's something, it's alarming, because we don't think about that. And you say this is quite common.
Yeah.
And really, what every quarter you should check your kids. I mean, your child is 2 years old. You need to check their credit.
Right, because the last thing you want to do is get to the point where they're 18 years old and they're applying for student aid, and you find out that they've got $371,000 in credit card
yes.
debt that no one ever knew about.
Or had the advantage of using the $300,000+, so that you'd need to check that out. Nick
exactly
Selby is
right.
Our guest on the program, police detective, 20 years experience fighting cyber criminals, co-author of the book Cyber Attack Survival Manual. The book's available wherever books are sold. We mentioned all the breaches over the last few years. Let's take Yahoo, for example. I think that was 2013. I've got a Yahoo account. Nothing's happened. Should I let my guard down? Am I out of the woods, or is this something, this danger is going to be there? It could be 7-8 years down the line before they use the information that they stole.
So the most important thing to remember about Yahoo is that there wasn't one breach, there have been several. And at this point, it is safe to assume that every single email address and password that has ever been registered with Yahoo, and this measures into the billions of people, has been compromised. Now, an email address and a password for Yahoo is really not all that important in and of itself. But one of the things that we see really often is that because of that that dynamic that I mentioned earlier, where passwords are really hard to set, people end up reusing their passwords. This is an absolutely terrible thing. The first thing that hackers do when a new vault or a new database of stolen passwords and emails comes out is they go to all the different websites out there and they try that same email address and password to see if it works. And you know what? A lot of times it does.
Yes.
These days, cybercrime is a volume business, which means that they only need to get a hit 1 or 2% of the time to make this a very profitable operation. And if you're thinking about cyber criminals as some kid in his mom's basement smoking weed, you got to really think again. There is big, big money in cybercrime, measured in the billions of dollars every year. And organized criminal groups are responsible for a lot of cybercrime out there, and certainly a lot of the damaging cybercrime out there.
A few minutes left.
Your Yahoo email might not be compromised, but the credentials that you used for that will definitely have been tried on a number of different other sites.
Great information in the book, Cyber Attack Survival Manual, with us on the program. Nick Selby, police officer, been doing this for 20 years, co-author of the book. What's interesting and really alarming, so often when we think about cybercrime, we think identity theft. That's the first thing that comes to mind. There are other sketchy ways that the money changes hands. Talk about that for a second, the shady sales, the gray market you're talking about out there. These are other ways they use on the internet to take money from us.
Sure. And I mean, you know, gray market and black market sales, we don't often think about this, but as my co-author Eric Olson points out, cigarettes are worth more than gold, and ounce for ounce, toner ink is worth more than platinum. So the ability to move commodities like that around the world is significantly financially valuable to criminal groups out there. And a lot of these are, they might not be directly internet crimes, but they are certainly internet enabled crimes. They're crimes that are enabled by the internet, just like, you know, in the city where I work as a detective. A lot of times what we'll see is criminal acts against people, and unfortunately they're usually a little bit older, a little bit less computer savvy, and these are sort of traditional frauds. These are scams, old short cons that are being used by people selling cars that don't exist for a great price, selling secondhand things or selling people technical support services. And, you know, around the country every day, people lose thousands of dollars at a time to crimes like this. It's actually it's endemic in our society.
You talk about a number of frauds, elder fraud, the tech support, the phone calls, a lot of valuable information in Cyber Attack Survival Manual. A few minutes left in the program. You talk about Internet of Things, and I'm fascinated by this. And you talk about hackers have actually broken into American and British air traffic control and transmitted bogus flight information to the pilots. I guess this is the apocalypse area that you're talking about here. What they can do is frightening.
Oh, it is. And I think, you know, a lot of times, and we see this in law enforcement networks, cops, you know, we feel like we're the police. Nobody's going to come in here. Well, sure they are if we leave the door open. I think a lot of the systems that have over the past 10 to 15 years, it's not just the internet and companies like Equifax, it's everything in the world has become more internet connected. And as we connect older systems and less secure systems that were actually designed never to be connected to the internet, as we start to connect them to the internet, we find vulnerabilities in places that we, you know, never have thought about, which is why a lot of hackers and a lot of lawmakers are concerned about the security of our critical infrastructure in the United States. About 85% of American critical infrastructure, electric power and things, are privately owned. And so there's no government regulation that can be pushed out to everybody. These are all individual small companies who each take an assessment of the risk that they face. And as we've seen, sometimes they're not that good at the risk assessment.
And take about 30 seconds here at the end. You talk about getting smart about smart devices. And this, again, is very alarming, as so many sections of the book are. And it gets your attention, so that's okay. But basically, all these smart devices, they're like what little spies that are trying to get into our lives.
They are. And so the biggest single bang for the buck that anybody can have is looking at your smartphone, which is where most of us keep most of our information, and actually most of us do most of our internet surfing these days, our internet reading. Most of our connections comes from that little device in our pocket. So a few really important basic things that will put you way ahead of most people in this country. Turn off your location services unless you're using your navigation. Turn off your Wi-Fi and your Bluetooth unless you're actually using those tools, because criminals have used nefarious Wi-Fi hotspots and Bluetooth connectivity to connect with phones that are just wide open and pull information out, including where you've been, where you're going. And by putting malware on that device, they can end up controlling, you know, if you are unlucky enough to do mobile banking on your phone and you've left your Wi-Fi on, you're actually a lot less safe than you might think.
In the book, you'll find a 7-point ID theft recovery program. So often something happens and we really don't know where to turn. You'll find that all detailed in the book. The book is Cyber Attack Survival Manual. One of the co-authors, Nick Selby, with us on the program. The book is available wherever books are sold. Nick, this really is an important book. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the program today.
Rick, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate all the questions.
Cyber Attack Survival Manual is the book. The guest is Nick Selby, the author. You are listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.